First off, you guys have all played the game rock, scissors, paper, haven't you? And you all know that rock breaks scissors, scissors cuts paper, and paper covers up and defeats rock. By the way, that reminds me, you know, during flu season, you go to shake somebody's hand and they just give you that fist bump. Next time you have your hand out and they give you the fist bump and that's kind of awkward, just go over and cover their hand and go, paper beats rock. Or don't. Now, here's the message. In some ways, the way that you and I, let me say this about rock, paper, scissors, first of all. The secret is if you knew what the other person was going to do, you'd always win, huh? If you knew they were going to show scissors, you'd know to show rock. So if you knew what was coming, you'd always make the right choice and you'd win. Now, in a lot of ways, how we as Christians deal with suffering and hardship is the same thing. There are three basic sources of suffering or hardship or pain that come into your life, and they are the judgment of God, the discipline of God, and satanic attack. And if you know the source of your difficulty, then you'll know what you should do. There's a different response for every condition. So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at how to deal with that. But let me tell you a little parable. There were three brothers, and they were going to go on a sailing vacation. They got on their boat. They're going to be gone for a couple of weeks. But on the first day, they got 5 or 6 hours out, and there was an engine fire, and their boat sank, and the three brothers are now in a little dinghy out in the middle of the sea. And the one says, God is judging us. We've got to figure out, and we need to repent so that God will save us. And the second brother says, I don't think you're right at all. I think that God is disciplining us. And God wants us to learn to depend upon him. And what we need to do is just endure this joyfully and learn the lesson. And the third brother says, you're all wrong. This is an attack from the devil. Now, which of them is right? And it's not all three. These are three different things. Which of those brothers is right? Well, the answer is we can't know because we don't have enough information to be able to tell that. Have you ever wrestled in your life with a problem or a condition in your life and you ask yourself, why is this happening? How should I respond? And you think, is this a demonic attack? Is this discipline? What exactly is going on? So are there any tests to help us to know how to respond? I want you to think about a problem in your life or a difficulty, and let's take a look at it. And you probably asked yourself, why is this happening? And so we're going to look at the three basic sources that cause suffering in the Christian's life. If you'll open up your bulletin, we have a three-page worksheet, if you will, because I want you to be able to take this message home and follow up on it, or even at your home groups you can follow up on it. So let's go ahead and look at the three basic sources. First of all, the source of suffering can be God's wrath or judgment. Judgment, and the source is God's wrath. For God to be righteous, he must oppose all unrighteousness. How many of you know there's no sin in heaven? For God to be righteous, he's got to come against all unrighteousness and sin. He can't simply ignore it or accommodate it if he's holy. And so all sin must either be judged or atoned for. Second source of difficulties in our life can be God's discipline. And the source of God's discipline is God's love. How many of you guys ever heard the saying, God loves us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us as we are? And so God loves us and he wants us to become conformed to his image and the image of his son Jesus. And he wants to promote us and give us good things. But in order to do that, he has to help change us. And of course, the third source of hardships in your life is spiritual attack. And the source there, of course, is Satan. You have an enemy. Jesus said that his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to hinder your growth and hinder you from receiving what God wants to give you. Now, when we know the source, then we'll know how to respond. And we'll look at that in a minute. So let's take these three apart a little bit and look at them a little bit more in depth. First of all, let's look at suffering and hardship that comes because of judgment on sin. The Bible is very clear, God judges sin. Now, right out of the gate, I want to make a quick distinction here between in judgment. There is general judgment and there is specific judgment. What's general judgment? That's the judgment that came on the world when Adam and Eve sinned. And so we have sickness, we have death, we have genetic problems, and that's just something that's a part of life. You know, the Bible says that God causes the rain and the sun to fall on the just and the unjust because he's gracious and he created a good world. But at the same time, the world's come under judgment. And so just as we share with everybody the sun and the rain, we also share with everybody sickness and genetic problems. So when you encounter sickness or when you discover that you have cancer, you don't have to, first of all, go looking around and saying, what did I do wrong? Why am I being judged? So there's general judgment that's on the whole human race. But there's also specific judgment that we can earn on our own through our own sinful behaviors. So that's what we're going to be talking about, specific judgment. Was that too complicated? All right, you're all with me? Okay, so we're going to look at specific judgment, not general. Genesis 34, God reveals who he is, and listen to what he says about himself. Moses had asked him, God, tell us who you really are. And God does. He speaks of himself in the third person. Then the Lord passed by in front of him, Moses, and proclaimed, I am the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness or mercy for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Now, you're going to get no argument from anybody about that picture of God. Everybody's very comfortable with that part of God. But there's more. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren of the third and fourth generation. So here we see both sides of God. He is merciful, but he's also just. He is forgiving, but he also judges sin. Now, what is sin? Most of you know. The word in the Greek Bible, in our Bible, is harmartia. It comes from the world of archery. It means to miss the mark, to fall short of the mark. God's mark or God's standard in every area of life is listed for us in the Bible. So sin is falling short of God's standard. Now, do you know that there are only two kinds of sin in the world? Did you know that? Only two. The first kind is there is sin that is confessed and repented of and therefore forgiven. And the only other kind of sin there is sin that must be judged. God judges sin. He will by no means leave sin unjudged. That's what he said. I will by no means leave it unjudged. So those are the only kind of sin that there is. There's no third category, stuff that used to be sin but isn't anymore, you know, because you got to keep up with the times. sin that God winks at or sin that God ignores. There's only two kinds. So judgment is a reality. And the purpose of God's judgment is to hinder the growth of evil and to teach everybody a lesson. Because when we see judgment happen on sin, how many know everybody learns a lesson? We learn the importance of doing right and the cost of doing wrong. I have on your worksheets, you guys have those out? There you go. I have on your worksheets a number of biblical examples of sin, of judgment on sin. Adam and Eve, they were believers, but they were cast from the garden. Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. And we have other ones there, and I put those there so you can study those at home. Now, Colossians 2, beginning with the 24th verse, says this, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Or the NIV says, that without favoritism. So judgment is true. Judgment on sin is true for the Christian as well as the non-Christian. There's no favoritism. It's without partiality. It doesn't matter if a person belongs to a church or a person was raised in a Christian home or your great-great-grandfather was a preacher. None of that matters because sin that isn't abandoned and confessed will be judged. And so we know that some suffering by Christian is a judgment on sin. Any sin that we don't abandon is not forgiven. So Christians that continue in a pattern of willful sinfulness, that sin is not forgiven. Therefore, it must be judged. Let's look at Proverbs 28:13. And we read there, he who conceals his transgressions or his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. And so I can hide my sin from others. I can lie to myself. I can try to justify it, but I cannot escape the consequences of judgment on continued sin. Now, you can appeal to the fact that everybody else is doing it or the times have changed. But how many of you know that God doesn't consult polls? God doesn't change with the times. God's word is forever and eternal. And so that's important that we understand that. Now, so therefore, if we live by the world standards, then we're judged along with the world. When I was in high school, I'd given my life to Christ and become a Christian. In fact, I was raised in a Christian home. But when I got into high school, I had all the wrong friends. And so rather than make the right friends and do the hard thing, I just drifted with them and began to party and drink and smoke pot and just live in a very ungodly lifestyle. And judgment came on me. And that is that God lifted his presence from my life. He lifted the light, and I just went deeper and deeper into darkness until I got into full-blown alcoholism, and I was demonized, and I was suicidal. How many of you know when God takes his grace off your life, that's judgment? Now, thankfully, that judgment woke me up, and I turned towards the Lord. But many Christians suffer, and their hardships are because of judgment on sin. And so what's the proper response? If you look at it and you find out that your problem, your suffering, is because you are walking in persistent sin, then what you need to do is repent of that sinful behavior and turn to God. Now let's look at the second category, which is suffering or hardship because of God's discipline. Now God disciplines us in order to correct fruitless thinking or behavior. God wants to bring us into a fuller image of his son. He wants us to have a more productive and wonderful relationship with him. He wants us to know him better and depend on him more. And so he brings discipline in our life. Now, whereas judgment results because of God's wrath, discipline results because of God's love. Hebrews 12, verse 5, we read this. And have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he what? He disciplines. And he scourges or disciplines every son whom he receives. And so... discipline is a sign of his love, and it's a proof that you've been adopted as his son or daughter, and that he cares about you, and that he believes in what you can become. I thank my parents that they disciplined me. It wasn't pleasant at the time, but guess what? It taught me things like self-control. It taught me to reverence God. It taught me to defer gratification. It taught me to teach others with respect. It taught me the joy of being productive. And so I thanked him for that. Hebrews 12:11 tells us God is a good parent No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So discipline deals with character development and faith. It allows us to be more than we were, to do more than we were, to become what we really want to be in the image of Jesus. And then Revelation 3:19, what a great verse. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And so, those whom I love, I discipline. Some of the most productive and defining years of my life were also the years when I was disciplined by God. I was sent, you know, God led me to go to a liberal college and a liberal seminary where I was persecuted for my beliefs. It was difficult. While there, I spent a year as a resident manager, actually living in a rescue mission. And that was a difficult year. Some time a little later, I was out of the ministry and spent 2.5 years driving a taxi. Those were difficulties that God brought into my life, but they were the most defining and fruitful times of my life. They were the preparation that enabled me to become the pastor of this church. It dealt with attitudes and thinking that I had that wouldn't have been fruitful and that would have tripped me up. So let's look at some biblical examples of discipline here. Moses' 40 years in Midian, where he had to take care of somebody else's sheep. But it was a difference between being the spoiled prince of Egypt and the man of God that took God's people out of Egypt towards the promised land. Excuse me. Jacob's years serving Laban, you can look at those there. Paul's thorn in the flesh. So if what you're dealing with is God's discipline, what should your response be there? To judgment, what do? You repent of the behavior and turn towards God. But if it's God's discipline, what do? You lean into God's strength because he wants to give you strength to get through the test. You embrace the process gratefully. Why do you embrace it gratefully? Because the Bible says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and it goes on from there. So you embrace it gratefully because it's from God, and you pray for understanding so that you can learn and grow. Now, the secret of getting through trials is to value the prize enough so that you can embrace the process. And what's the prize? It is maturity. It is fruitfulness. It is to be promoted. It is to begin to be more Christ-like. If you keep your eyes on the prize, then you can endure the process. Let's look now at the third category, which is spiritual attack. Now, Satan's purpose is to hinder God's purpose in your life. It's to defeat you so that you are kept from the fullness of God's victory that he has for you. And it's to smother the Christian under confusion, under despair, under doubt, under fear. That's what he wants to do. 1 Peter 5:8, we read these words. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And so the Bible says right here, you have an adversary, and he's coming after you. Here's some biblical examples of spiritual attack that I've listed you can study. The first one is that Satan tempts Eve. He introduces doubt and confusion into her mind. And we go down there, answers to Daniel's prayer, slowed by demonic warfare, Satan thwarts Paul's attempt. So you can read those later. So if you are under demonic attack, what should the response be? It should be to submit completely to God and then resist and rebuke the devil. James 4:7. It says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will, because he must, flee from you. And it says that we're to resist the devil, but first we have to do something else. What's that? Fully submit to God. The authority you have over the Satan is the authority that flows through you from God. And if we're not on right ground with God, then that authority is affected, and our conscience is affected. And so the first thing you want to do when you're under spiritual attack is look at your own life and see if there's any areas where you aren't really submitting yourself fully to God. And then you need to rebuke him. Never be intimidated by the enemy. You know what it says here? It said, we just read it, Satan goes about like a roaring lion. A lion's roar is the most intimidating sound in the world. Lions rarely have to attack anything because their roar defeats all their enemies. So Satan intimidates. If you're a Christian and you're right with the Lord, Jesus has taken the teeth right out of the lion. So don't be intimidated. Do what Jesus did. Jesus rebuked. Jesus commanded Satan, get behind me. And that's how we deal with spiritual attack. So far what we've done is we've seen that the suffering that we have comes from one of three sources. Either it's the judgment on sin, or it's God's loving discipline, or it's demonic attack. And then we saw for the three different sources, there are three different responses. And we'll go back at the very end of the message and review those. But how can you tell which of these sources it is? And so I want to give you now three tests that you can use in your own life to determine the source of your suffering or your hardship or your difficulty. The first one I call the test of life context. In other words, what were you doing or what was going on in your life when this problem or hardship came upon you? Judgment, one of the sources, comes when we're living in persistent sin and we're resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's what I was doing in high school and into my early adult years. I was resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When I went out and did it, I felt bad, but I pushed that conviction away, and I continued to go on in my sin. Now, discipline is different. Discipline often comes simply because we've lost focus, and we're no longer moving ahead in God. We're not being fruitful like we used to be. We have become independent, maybe we've developed some bad attitudes. And so God wants to refocus us. He wants us to move ahead in life. He wants to purify us. He wants to enlarge us, so therefore he must discipline us. Spiritual attack, however, is something very different. Spiritual attack comes because you are being fruitful and because you are making spiritual progress, and Satan wants to derail your effectiveness and your progress. Now, I just want to say one quick thing. I'm talking about spiritual attack. I'm not talking about spiritual bondage. I think you know they're two different things. Spiritual bondage is something a person falls into because they're continuing in sin to the point that Satan gets a huge advantage over them and they've become in bondage. But spiritual attack is something different. That comes from the outside because you're making progress. I'll give you an example. When we had our schools were going strong, they were growing, we were changing lots of lives, so we had to expand. We had to find someplace new. And so we acquired a property in Fletcher Hills, and it was the most amazing thing. We were making advance. We were doing good work. And all hell broke loose against us. It was incredible, the opposition that arose. But what did we do? We persevered and went through it because it was a demonic attack and our schools were placed there. Satan can't defeat you. He can try and intimidate you. Number two, the test of goals, priorities, and motives. In other words, when this problem started, what were your goals and your priorities? Judgment would come if your goal was and your priorities were idolatrous. so much so that they were leading you to sin. In other words, an idol is anything that you love more than God, that you look to more than God, that you serve more than God. A lot of people say, oh man, no, I love God more than any of these other things. But you look at their checkbook, you look at their day planner, their schedule, you know, you find out what they're really excited about, what they're really committed to. And so when our goals and priorities are idolatrous, we're putting things before God, that's when judgment would happen. On the other hand, discipline comes to correct us not when we're living in sin, but when our goals and priorities are mixed or unfruitful. Even though we're Christians, we're still influenced in our values and our thinking by the world. I sometimes tell people, you know, I believe God has your heart, but the world has your mind. Because you have worldly thinking, worldly philosophy, and worldly values. And so your heart and your mind are at war. And so God needs to discipline us sometimes to begin to change our thinking. And also, a lot of times we can, how many of you know we can do the right thing for pretty mixed reasons or even wrong reasons? God wants to purify our reasons, and so that's when discipline would come. On the other hand, spiritual warfare comes to hinder godly goals. So spiritual warfare would tend to come if you had godly goals and you had godly priorities and you were moving ahead. Number three is test of effects. In other words, what is the effect that this difficulty is having on your life? Now, if it's spiritual attack always results in confusion. It results in discouragement, in shame, in doubt. And I say shame because the word devil means accuser or slanderer. Satan in the Greek means adversary, and that's the devil. He's our adversary, and he's also our accuser. So when you're dealing with confusion and shame and despair, that could be spiritual attack. Spiritual attack leads to being demoralized. On the other hand, discipline is entirely different. The effect discipline has is it makes us not become demoralized, but it makes us examine ourselves. It makes us reevaluate. It reveals pride. It reveals wrong thinking. It brings insight. It results in growth. And you are experiencing Christ in the midst of it. You don't feel cut off and despairing. You are oftentimes drawn closer to Christ, usually. And finally, judgment always results in great sorrow. Judgment always brings sorrow, and it looks hopeless. And until you repent, that's what happened to me. I was living in despair and sorrow until I repented. So if it's spiritual attack, you'll feel completely demoralized. If it's judgment, you'll feel sorrow. But if it's discipline, you'll feel the presence of God and you'll feel hope. So we've talked about finding the source of sorrow and problems in your life. Now, to be sure what it is, in other words, to make sure you get the right answer, you need to bring people into your life, mentors, to go through and ask the hard questions. How many know sometimes people ask harder questions on ourselves than we do? How many know every person in here has a blind spot? Every one of us has blind spots in our life. So if you're going through something difficult and you want to try and figure out what the source is and what you should do, invite pastors or mentors or home fellowship leaders or godly people to go through the process with you. So now you have a diagnostic tool for yourself and others to go through the problems and difficulties of life and try to figure out what the problem is. Because once you know the diagnosis, then you know the prescription, right? So if the diagnosis is that you're just reaping what you sowed. This is just judgment. Then what's the prescription? You just need to repent and stop that behavior and look to God and begin planting good seeds. If you plant bad seeds, you're going to get a bad harvest. And it's so easy in this world to plant bad seeds because we listen to the world. The world says sexual immorality is not an issue. You know, the world, I mean, but if we continue to live in racial hatred, or we continue to live, in unforgiveness, or we just continue to be a gossip and we won't change, we're going to reap a bad harvest, which is a judgment. If we find out instead that what we're going through is discipline, then what do? We just lean into God, knowing that He's going to give us strength for the test. We rejoice in the promised outcome, and we just pray for strength and patience. And if it's a spiritual attack, what do? First of all, just make sure you're submitted to God. And then you resist, you stand fast, you rebuke the devil, you say, "Get behind me, Satan." If I could have the band come up here. Now, God doesn't want His sons and daughters to walk around in confusion, to be thrown this way or that way. He wants us to walk in victory. He wants us to have understanding about our life and to have the wisdom to know what to do next. And so in order to do that, we need to understand sometimes why it is we're going through something. God wants you to live in victory. Romans 14:7, I'll close on this. And it says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God, we've all been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His beloved Son. When you were saved, you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness, that's Satan's realm, to the kingdom of God, which is Jesus' realm. And in that realm, it says, its essence is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit, or empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's the joy the Holy Spirit brings forth. It's the peace the Holy Spirit gives us. And that's your inheritance. That's where God wants us to live, not in despair, but righteousness, joy, and peace. Let me say a prayer, and then we'll go into ministry. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your goodness, Lord. I want to just thank You that, Lord, although life is a puzzle, thank You, Lord, that You give us the answers. Thank You, Lord, that the Bible is the box top that tells us what the picture is supposed to look like, that gives us guidance and understanding. And Lord, as we go through the challenges of life, I pray for every person in this room that they will understand the issues and the forces of their life. They'd understand the sources of the difficulty. Lord, they'd be encouraged, Lord, to respond in faith and to get the blessing. Lord, I pray You just break hardship, break attack. I pray You release in this upcoming year blessing in the life of every person in this room. Lord, may they look up, may they see You, may they walk in close fellowship with You this year. In Jesus' name, amen.